Welcome to our service for the second Sunday before Lent. One of the nice things about choosing hymns in Wales is that you have at least two wonderful versions of the Sanctus to choose from. The Holy, 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 words that we could hear repeated in the epistle reading set for today from the book of Revelation. Today we're going to begin our service with the Welsh choice, Sanctaidd, Sanctaidd, Sanctaidd Ior. And will go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us, and restore us to the joy of your salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the collect for the second Sunday before Lent. Almighty God, you have created the heavens and the earth and made us in your own image. Teach us to discern your hand in all your works and your likeness in all your children. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns supreme over all things, now and for ever. Amen.
The first reading is from Genesis chapter 2, beginning in the fourth verse. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden, to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, and to the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for the man there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman, and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one has taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. One day Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing he fell asleep. A gale swept down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. They went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed, and said to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Restless wave.
the York cycle of the medieval mystery plays, God says to Adam, "This tree that bears the fruit of life, look, neither thou nor Eve thy wife, lay ye no hands thereto, for why, it is knowing both of good and ill." We don't know who wrote the mystery plays, but whoever it was has made a common mistake in this passage. As we heard in today's reading from Genesis, there were two trees in the middle of the Garden of Eden, not one. Out of the ground the Lord made every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." What is important about this is that the man and the woman are allowed to eat from the tree of life. The only forbidden tree is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The author of these early chapters of Genesis is trying to work out what it means to be human. And what he tries to do is point to the things that are unique to humans, especially those things that differentiate humans from other animals. I would not want, in anything I'm saying, to underestimate the importance of the life of animals. I had a sad letter from a former parishioner this week, a woman who'd been single all her life and was finally living alone, but who has now lost her one companion, her beloved dog. And of course, on the subject of right and wrong, many Christians can and do point to this passage and say that in Eden, Adam and Eve appear to be vegans. But for our author, the uniqueness of human beings among the animals gives him his starting point in trying to work out what human life really means. For the human is naked. It has no fur or feathers, hide or scales like the animals. It has language. Whatever the man called a creature, that was its name. It knows companionship. The Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." It appreciates beauty and longs for wisdom. The woman saw that the tree was a delight to the eyes and to be desired to make one wise. But on the other hand, its childbirth is uniquely painful and dangerous. To the woman, God said, "In pain you shall bring forth children." And the human being has to work hard for a living. To the man, he said, "In toil you shall eat all the days of your life. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." But most importantly of all, the human being has moral sense, as the animals do not. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil symbolizes our sense of right and wrong. But why does the author make that tree the source of all the trouble? Surely it's a good thing to have a sense of right and wrong. It does indeed separate us from the animals. How can the knowledge of good and evil be the cause of the curses, the pain of childbirth, and the curse of work, and above all, the curse of death? The Lord said to the man, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You were dust, and to dust you shall return." What the author has done by putting the two trees next to each other is to symbolize in them together the very best of human life. The tree of life symbolizes the miracle of our being alive at all, which is indeed a miracle we do share with all the animals. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil symbolizes what is unique about us, our consciousness, that we know that we are alive, that we are able to understand it and to think about it, to say what is good and bad about it, what is right and what is wrong. In this context, the curse of death, the brutal fact of our dying, is made much worse. With all our faculties, our language, our appreciation of beauty, our capacity for work, our joy and companionship, even with all these, dust we are, and to dust we shall return. And that is the reality that our author, along with the whole of the Old Testament wisdom tradition, is trying to come to terms with. He does not for a second doubt that we are made by God. In the beginning, God, he writes first of all. He would regard it as absurd to suggest that all the wonders that he sees in human life, indeed in all life, came about by some kind of accident. And he has no doubt either that the God who brought everything into being could sustain everything in being. The fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we would probably call our moral sense. But to our author, they would more properly be called a sense of the holy. When Moses meets God at the burning bush, he must take off his shoes because the ground he is standing on is holy. But when he tries to find out more about that holiness, enough to give it a name, he runs into the complete otherness of God. I am who I am, says Yahweh. There is no other thing, no other being, in terms of which, in terms of whom, he can be defined. He is the ground of all being. He breathed life into the nostrils of the man, says our author, and the man became a living being. And so to take the fruit of the forbidden tree is to take on a weight that our humanity cannot sustain and live, like Uzzah, who tried to steady the Ark of the Covenant and was consumed by the fire of its holiness. The author's fundamental insight is that the holy God graciously made us for a loving relationship with himself, and that we have broken it. It is God in the story who tries to maintain it, coming into the garden in the cool of the day, searching for Adam and Eve. And it is we, the children of Adam and Eve, who hide away from him, because we know that somehow the fellowship with him for which we were made has been spoiled. And yet we believe that the holiest of God's attributes is his love. Even as Adam and Eve are cast out from the garden, the Lord makes garments to cover them. It is the last of the ways in which they differ from the animals. Without fur or feathers or hide, the human being lives in clothes. And the author makes the clothes part of the story of God's grace. Like Joseph, given the coat of many colours by his father, like the prodigal son dressed in the best robe with a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And ultimately, like the redeemed who are given white robes of salvation to worship at the throne of the Lamb. The clothes are a sign of the Lord's continuing love and of our continuing hope. There will come another Son of Man, another Ben Adam, dressed ultimately in a bloody, seamless robe. He will redeem Adam's children and fulfill God's loving purpose. O loving wisdom of our God, when all was sin and shame, a second Adam to the fight and to the rescue came. Amen.
As the deer pants for the
Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Helen. We begin as usual with the Lord's Prayer. En tad yr hynoeten y nefaith sancteiddia dy enw, dyled y dernas gwnela dy wychlys, megis yn y nef fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyroni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion fel y maddewn unna ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth, eithig gwared ni rhag drwg. Canis iddo ti o'r deirnas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Holy God, sometimes our lives are so full of worries that we forget how you look after us through every aspect of our lives. When our worries begin to spiral out of control, help us turn them into a conversation with you, confident that you will calm our anxiety and give us hope for the future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for your church and the churches in our local community, asking that there will be a desire to grow together. We pray for Matthew and Judith, John Rowlands and David Tizard, and especially for Richard Uwinek as he begins his journey into the ordained ministry. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for our Queen and her family as she reaches the 70th anniversary of her accession to the throne. Give her health and strength, wisdom and courage, so that she may carry out her many duties in the best interests of all our people. We pray for the people of the world and all who offer their services in the leadership of the affairs of the world, that they may uphold what is right and good. We pray particularly at this time for peace in the Ukraine and all places where there is violence, war, and terrorism. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we thank you for the joy of human love and for all those among whom we live and work. We pray particularly for loved ones who worry us with their health or circumstances or life direction. We pray for those among our friends and families who do not know you or whose faith has been shaken. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for all who bear the burdens of pain, bereavement, worry, and depression. We pray for those whose illness stems from anxiety. We pray that they may have an awareness of your presence and an understanding that you are bearing those burdens with them and always working towards their healing and wholeness. And in a moment's silence, we name those known to us in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, through your love and mercy, you turn the darkness of death into the dawn of new life. Comfort those who grieve in their sorrow and those who are worried about how they will cope on their own, and reassure them that you will never leave them to carry the burdens of life unaided. We pray especially for all who have lost loved ones recently. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, we ask you to lead us into the coming week. Help us to believe that you are close by. Keep us from making mistakes. And help us never to disappoint you through our words and actions. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. True, Lord.
Christ give you grace to grow in holiness, daily to take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.